Good morning. Well, let's get going. Phenomenal. This is the phenomenal class. There we go. Phenomenal class. Class from which you don't graduate. You're stuck here. Okay. Well, just to get us going, it's not really our verse this morning, but I am going to start in Hebrews 12:28. It's a verse, I don't know, it kind of, Lord's use this to help me set the tone for when we're talking about the kingdom. And that's what we're talking about. Kingdom of God, been on it for a few weeks now, going to be on it for a few weeks more. Let's read this together. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. Reverence and awe. When it comes to the kingdom, it's a gift that is being given to you. I know oftentimes when we talk about the kingdom, it's abrasive. It does not sound all that great. It is counter to what we would consider comfortable, but it is a gift for which we're to be grateful for. It's a great gift in which the proper response for receiving is worship, is reverence and awe. And it's a great gift because it's like no other. It lasts forever. It cannot be shaken. It's a good gift. I think the reason why this sticks in my head is because every time I'm thinking about the kingdom, it's as if the Lord's saying, this is the perspective I need you to have. This is kind of, you keep this in mind when talking about the kingdom. Because there's going to be parts when we're speaking. And I don't know if you guys have felt it over the last month or so, but whether it's myself speaking or Eric, there's things that are said that's like, man, this would have been a great service if we just didn't say that. I would have felt really good about myself if that wasn't mentioned. The kingdom can, it's going to rub you wrong sometimes. But it's something for which we need to be grateful for. But in terms of the kingdom, the call and instruction that's been given to us can be summed up in Luke 12. It is Luke 12, 31 to 32. It says, seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need. So don't be afraid, little flock, for it gives the Father great happiness to give you the kingdom. As followers of Christ, as followers of Jesus, we're called to put the kingdom of God at the forefront of our lives. In front of all other pursuits belongs the kingdom. This is to adopt God's value system above what you think is right or would prefer is right or the proper way, God's value system. And this is not to just agree with God. Putting the kingdom first isn't an agreement with God. It goes further than that. It is an adoption of his ways so that they are now my ways. Pursue his purposes. I'm going through this because I'm breaking down this seek first into like these little chunks. This is kind of like the overall. Like this is kind of what's all be saying. So I just want to make sure I say this. Seeking first is about pursuing his purposes. Not ours, but his. And our lives are directed and in line with God's purposes and goals. It also means to submit to his authority. My life is his. And I've died to self and am now live in submission to his rule. A few weeks ago, when we first started this, and I almost think this is the way we should begin series, Eric, is you started by just going through a bunch of verses. That listed all this kingdom of God stuff. I really enjoyed that because it was like, okay, let's just do a vast sweep of it all real quick. But when we came across this seek the kingdom of God first verse, I wrote that down and I started asking the Lord questions. And the main question was, how does this happen? How does someone go from not seeking first to seeking first? How do we What does that actually look like, you know? Like, when it comes to physical things, it's pretty easy. We have a line of people. Okay, you go up front. When it comes to things that are, I don't know, not so physical, they kind of exist in concept and can be seen in your life, but it's a little hard to say, is it exactly? He started giving me these things. He said, well, the kingdom of God, and we talked about this a month ago, it starts with our thinking. Our thinking must adjust. You want to seek the kingdom of God? It starts with our thinking. And we discussed that already. Today we're going to do this. And then after our thinking, it's about our focus. After our thinking, it's about our focus. We live in a world that's contending for our focus. It's fighting for our focus. Contending to be the thing in which we seek above all else. And it even gives really convincing arguments for why you should focus on its ways, its stuff, rather than the kingdom of God. Saying stuff like this. Let's see if any of this sounds a little familiar. Focus on financial security so you can provide for yourself and your family and be comfortable. Isn't this the wise thing to do? To do that. Okay. Focus on achievements so that more doors will open and your legacy can live on. This is actually something that was said to me when I first started getting into ministry by another pastor friend. He said, focus on the things you can achieve. And I thought, yeah, that's wrong. That's not right. Huh? That's very poor advice. It is worldly advice. It's worldly advice. Focus on what pleases you and being happy the way you see fit, and you'll be satisfied. This is what is being jammed down our students all the time. And it's even being said to the extent of, you need to experiment with everything out there so you can figure out what makes you happy. Yeah. This is what is being said. This is the world's way. Don't you want to be happy? Focus on your happiness. Because once you're happy, then you'll be satisfied. Well, okay. Focus on tomorrow and the future so that you don't waste your time. Because it's limited. All of this is kind of is cloaked in the guise of wisdom, right? People will say this proudly and loudly because they think this sounds wise. This is what is wise. But it is not of the kingdom. The world wants your focus, and this is kind of the key. The world wants your focus because if it has it, the kingdom doesn't. The world wants your focus because if it has it, the kingdom doesn't. It's black and white. Actually, just about everything is. When I say focus, I mean the thing you're kind of lasered in on. Priority. It's the priority, right? I should have got a laser pen. Gosh, man. That's like youth pastor 101. Always bring a prop. No prop. But if I were to shine a laser into the back, there'd be just this one thing that it can focus in on, right? Everything else is in the peripheral. It's in view. I can still see it. It's a part of my life, but it's in the peripheral. And what Jesus is saying here is saying that thing in which you're lasered in on needs to be the kingdom. Everything else belongs in the peripheral. Everything else will fall into place. In fact, when you laser in on the kingdom, what actually happens is then your needs are provided for. All these other things that you're trying to actually achieve, it actually doesn't happen until you laser in on the kingdom. Amen? Yeah. You can't have more than one focus, one direction of your life, more than one master. The world and our culture has made things normal that aren't normal in the kingdom. And the two oppose each other 100%. This concept of focus, it's just one thing. But also, there's no mixing of the kingdom and the world. It just doesn't happen. So even if you try, they can't happen. It's like this physically cannot happen. There is no reality in which that exists and can happen. But this idea of focus, this idea of focus is so important because everything else is influenced by your focus. Everything else is influenced by your focus. Whether you know it or not, your life has a focus. and everything else is being influenced by it. If my focus or goal in life is to become X, everything else becomes subservient to that end. And you can fill in the blank with whatever you want. If my goal in life is to be wealthy, everything falls in line with that. If my goal in life is to be everyone's favorite person, everything else falls in line with that. And there's a lot of goals, there's a lot of focuses that sound great, right? There's a lot of focuses that sound great. But Jesus is saying, listen, there's a lot of things that I actually want you to have in your life. I want people to enjoy you. I want you to love others. I want you to be provided for. But when you focus on the kingdom, all of that happens. When I mean subservient, I'm saying everything else becomes less important in service to that end, completely obedient to that focus. How I spend my money, how I spend my time, who I associate with and why, and how I act. Sometimes I look at someone and what they're doing, I'm like, this makes no sense. Why would you do this? But then I realize, oh, this is what they're focused on. This is kind of the goal. This is what they're going after, right? I'm kind of looking at the picture behind it. It's kind of like when I meet a new student. I met this one student years and years ago. I won't say his name because our students know him. But he is loud. He is just a loud, yells everything, right? He'll be whispering, and it's like, dude, you're too loud. You're just too loud. But then I met his parents. It all made sense. His family's a bunch of yellers. And I was frustrated with him, like, dude, quiet down. Then I realized, oh, that's how it is in his house, in his life. Okay, I get it. Same as with the focus. Oh, I get what's going on now. Not that I agree with your focus or that, you know, but I now have a better understanding of what's going on. Same goes with the kingdom. A lot of the stuff that Jesus asks us to do is wacky. Like, it doesn't make sense to the world at all. It's like, wait a second. You're going to hang out with those people? Wait a minute. You're going to throw away achievement and praise? So let me get this straight. You're really not that concerned about the size of your bank account? That's not a thing? Oh, okay. Why? Oh, you're one of those kingdom of God people. You're one of those Christians. You're one of those people that's all out for Jesus. I get it. And honestly, that's probably one of the main reasons why people decide not to come and follow Jesus. Everything else has to fall in line with it, right? Everything else is like, I don't want that. I do not want to let go of the things I want to hold on to. The Olympics started this week. Anybody watch the Olympics?
A little bit,
okay. Watched skateboarding a little bit yesterday. That got added to the Olympics. Watched a little bit of rowing. Got a little bored. Didn't watch that anymore. But yeah. It is, you know, you have these athletes from around the world who have dedicated their entire life to being the best in their sport. Everything in their life revolves around getting to this point. And when they talk to the gold medalists, it is very obvious that just their daily routine, where they live, all the decisions in their life has been geared toward this singular focus of gold. And when they go and they talk to some of the retired athletes, say, hey, how are you liking retirement? And you just see them beaming. They're like, oh, I get to focus on other things. Focus on my family. Focus on doing other hobbies. They lived with a singular focus. It's that kind of focus that Jesus is inviting us into. As followers of Christ, our focus is on the kingdom. Everything else is second to that end. This means I can live life. I can enjoy all God created. I can participate in hobbies. I can buy nice things. But it's all secondary to what I'm seeking first. It's all in service to my focus, which is forwarding the kingdom. First in my life is the kingdom.
First in my life is the reign of God. First in my life is the rule of the Father. My daily routine, my financial decisions, how I treat others, how I pursue achievements, etc. All are subservient, second to my focus, which is on the kingdom. You remember Daniel and his three friends? Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. They were put in situations where what they were truly focused on was revealed. And it was revealed when their motivations and drive for their actions were questioned. The three, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, did not bow down to Nebuchadnezzar's golden image when commanded to, even under the threat of being thrown into the fiery furnace. And Nebuchadnezzar brings them, furious, saying, "Why didn't you bow down?" And then it's revealed to him, "We have one God above this God who we serve. Our focus is on him. Everything else comes second. And because my God has said, have no other gods before me, what he says goes, even above you, king." Ooh, and this made the king mad. He is red hot. Even above me, there's no one above me. You say, well, in our lives, there is. But here's what happens. And we know the story. They're often offered a second chance to bow down. They say, we don't need the second chance. The math stays the same. He's first, and you're going to get the same result. And so what happens? He throws them into the fiery furnace, and just like it says in Luke, God shows up and provides for their needs. Right? So what do you think is going to happen in your life when you put God first and when you're focused on his kingdom? He understands your needs, and he's going to show up when you put him first. Huge element of faith. You may not be facing a fiery furnace, but I'm sure there's things that give you a little bit of anxiety about putting God first, right? There are things that make your heart beat a little faster when it said, you want me to focus on the kingdom even in the midst of this? Yes. You want me to focus on the kingdom even though they're saying this about me? Yes. Because I'm going to show up. I understand your needs, and I'll provide for you. Even in the midst of suffering. Wait a second, you mean I'm going to have to suffer? Yeah. Yep. Because I'm God and I know what you need. And that's a hard one. And the same goes with Daniel. Why didn't you pray when King Darius signs the decree to pray to no other god or image but the king? So, well, just like my three friends and Nebuchadnezzar, you're going to get the same answer. God is my focus. And I say, wait, Daniel, you kind of plead with him. Why would you do this? It actually says in Scripture, it wasn't like Daniel didn't know, because it says this, when Daniel knew, he went and prayed. That's Daniel 6 and 10. When Daniel knew, he went and prayed. He understood the risk. It's not like he was ignorant of it or nothing. He understood the risk. And he decided in that moment, my focus stays the same. It is on God. And they throw him in, and the same thing happens. God shows up. Now, in all these examples, it's for God's glory. We do have to mention that. In all these examples, it's for God's glory. Because God shows up, and both of those rulers say, we are going to, with proper reverence and awe, respect their God, right? That's the decree that went out over all the nation. God's going to show up. He's going to provide for your needs, but it's going to be for his glory. My focus is on God's kingdom, even above life, yes. Everything that I do falls in line with my focus, and what you're focused on, what is first in your life, matters, because everything else is downstream of your focus. Everything else is downstream of your focus. For a little while, it may seem like you could put something else above God as your focus, but eventually it's going to come to a point where the kingdom of God is going to start to be affected by whatever your focus is, and we're going to get to that in a second. We like to act like this. Oh, I got to take a drink. We like to act like this, that as long as I have the kingdom somewhere in the lineup, the order doesn't matter. We convince ourselves that as long as I have the kingdom of God somewhere in the lineup, the order doesn't matter. But the order matters. In the lineup of my life, everything is downstream of my focus and affected by it. This logic that says, as long as I have the kingdom somewhere in the lineup, I'm okay, it's the same logic that says Jesus is just a contributor to my life. It's the same logic that says Jesus is just a contributor to my life. What I mean by that is, in reality, it's Jesus plus nothing else. Because it's Jesus alone that gives us life. Amen? John 20, verse 31, I bring this up because last time I was teaching in the kids' class, they memorized this verse. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life by the power of his name. Him alone, no one else. Him alone. It's not like Jesus plus my great job does anything. It's just Jesus alone. He's not saying, hey, it's great that you follow Jesus all, but you need to make sure that you got other things figured out too. No, it's Jesus and nothing else. Jesus and nothing else. When we make Jesus and the kingdom of God a simple aspect or addition to our life rather than the focus, we miss the point. The good news of the kingdom isn't that we get to add something to our lives. Are you with me here? The good news of the kingdom isn't that we get to add something to our lives, like some sort of stimulus check or birthday gift. It's that we are given life when we had none. We're given life when we had none. Life when we had nothing. Life when we were dead. Think about this, the rich young ruler, for a second. The rich young ruler of Jesus' day was given opportunity to focus on the kingdom of God, but he could not. He was unwilling. Because he was looking to add the kingdom to his life. He wanted to add the kingdom to his life, not make it his focus. And if you want to go read this, it's in Matthew 19. I'm just going to summarize it. Most of us pretty much know the story. You know, he comes up, approaches Jesus, what must I do to have eternal life? Jesus says, do this and this. He says, I kept all these commandments since childhood. He says, okay, one final thing. Give all you have to the poor. And this goes, a man of great wealth. Give all you have to the poor and come and follow me. This was a man, by all accounts, was a good man, good intentions, you know, probably friendly guy. But even though he wanted the kingdom, he wasn't able to give up what he had in order to focus on the kingdom. When Jesus says, sell what you have and you will have treasure in heaven, he's saying, give up this world and seek my kingdom now, an eternal kingdom. But he couldn't give it up. He was motivated by wealth, the distractions of this world, rather than the kingdom of God. Even though he said he wanted eternal life, even though he desired to be in God's kingdom, it wasn't first, and it wasn't his true focus. Matthew 19. And he wasn't willing to put it there. He wasn't willing to seek first the kingdom. Because what Jesus does is he doesn't mince words. He said, no, I know exactly what is first in your life. It's time for you to flip this around. Whatever is the focus of your life will dictate the decisions and direction of the rest. His focus was wealth. His focus was the accumulation of earthly goods. And it got to the point, it was so bad in his life, that he even dictated whether or not he was going to be a part of the kingdom, whether or not he was going to have eternal life. If the kingdom isn't first, then you have made the kingdom of God subservient to your desires. If it's not first, and you think it's somewhere in the lineup, then what's actually going on is you've made the kingdom of God second, and in service to whatever is first. Sounds like a real dangerous spot to be in. Like a real iffy spot. In the case of the rich young ruler, his love of riches and wealth was his focus. And so he was unable and unwilling to seek first the kingdom. because that would mean that his riches would be in service to the kingdom and come second. When you say yes to the kingdom first, when you decide to put it as your one and only focus, you're deciding to put everything else in second place. And you're deciding to make all those other things subservient to the kingdom. The rest of your life becomes in service to the kingdom. So you understand why order matters. Because whatever's first, everything else serves that and is to that end. If the kingdom is simply a part of your life, you miss the kingdom. If the kingdom is simply a part of our life, we miss it. We kind of live in a have-it-all culture, right? We live in a culture that kind of is like, well, what do you mean I can't have it all? What do you mean I can't have my cake and eat it too? That's offensive. I don't like your tone. That hurts me. This is a verbal assault. This is not the way it works in the kingdom. In the kingdom, you can have it or you can't. You either have it or you don't. Remember how we started this? If the kingdom, the world wants your focus, because if it has it, the kingdom doesn't. I think this is where a lot of frustration happens for Christians. This is in my life where I think a lot of my frustration has come from. We put Jesus in the lineup of our lives, we put the kingdom in the lineup of our lives, and don't get the results we expect. The blessing of the kingdom is unlocked to those who seek first the kingdom. Remember it says, seek first the kingdom, and all your needs will be met. Seek first the kingdom, and all your needs will be met. The two are linked together. The seeking first, and the all your needs will be met.
When I got out of the prison, I had a set of clothes, an old guitar, a Bible. That's all I had. $200 gate money. And seeking first the kingdom of God. Of course, we've been some detours between here and there.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing that works.
Yeah. God provided for you,
yeah.
Right?
Wasn't any government program?
Wasn't any pull yourself up from your bootstraps? Of course, there was work involved.
Oh, yeah, a lot.
But it was the kingdom first.
Yes.
Yeah, for those of you, he was just saying that when he got out of prison, you know, he had basically nothing. But he made the decision, the kingdom first. He made the decision, God first in my life. Everything else falls into place because God takes care of his children. Amen? This is what happens. The blessing of the kingdom is unlocked to those who seek first the kingdom, who put their focus on the kingdom, and who put the kingdom above all else. This frustration and disappointment is a reality for so many because it's so easy to fall into, of just putting the kingdom somewhere in the lineup. It's because I think we forget that there's nothing casual about the kingdom. There's nothing casual about the kingdom. In the world, everything is casual. Everything's casual. I could just kind of coast through life. Jesus says as much in Matthew 7 when he says, you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. There's one way. It's the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad and its gates are wide. It's casual to just wander into. For the many who choose the way. But the gateway to life is very narrow. The road is difficult. And only a few find it. The idea of living with a focus on the kingdom doesn't take root in our lives without intentionality, without looking at everything in our life and putting it behind the kingdom, taking everything out and removing it from that laser focus, putting it in the peripheral. If I don't bring everything into submission, if I don't run everything past a kingdom mindset, making sure the kingdom is the focus of my life, then I'm sure it won't be. It's a guarantee that the kingdom will not be the focus of our lives if we don't intentionally make it the focus. And this comes when every moment in your life Every decision in your life is an opportunity to focus on the kingdom. How I spend my money, how I spend my time, the content I consume, how I interact with people, my thoughts and actions alike, how I handle what's mine, am I a generous person or am I hoarding it all for myself? But the kingdom, right smack in the middle of everything, it'll all fall into place. Seeking the kingdom requires the kingdom to be the focus of my life. Anything else results in the kingdom being a part of the peripheral, an afterthought, and keeps me from seeking first the kingdom. The kingdom's either the focus or it's in the peripheral. Guess what? If it's in the peripheral, it doesn't count. You know, there's no participation awards, right? I'm going to wrap up here soon. I'm going to try to get through this. I do want to kind of give us a word for, well, how do I do this then? How do I put the kingdom first? How do I focus on the kingdom? A focus on the kingdom comes when we realize the world has nothing to offer me. If you can hold on to that truth, that the world has nothing to offer you, and it's all found in Jesus, a focus on the kingdom kind of sails right on in there. Look at Luke 12, 29 through 30, right before Jesus is saying, seek first the kingdom. And don't be concerned about what to eat or drink. Don't worry about such things. These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers all over the world, but your Father already knows your needs. Everything we need is found in Jesus. The world has nothing to offer you. Nothing. Everything will be provided to you by the Father. They say, are there cars in the kingdom? I'm not talking about that. Okay? What I'm talking about are the real needs of your life. I'm talking about life versus death. I'm talking about true satisfaction.
And peace.
And peace, right? I'm talking about all the fruits of the Spirit, which are good and nourishing. I'm talking about a river of living water. How many of you guys hate advertisements and commercials? Oh, yeah. Hate advertisements and commercials in whatever form, right? If there is a streaming service, whether it's Hulu, Peacock, YouTube, I don't know, whatever it is. I'm not sure if everyone's, you know, dialed in on that. My students understand. But if there's an option for me to watch something without commercials, take my money. Take it. What is taking you so long to take my money? I do not want commercials. And here's what's so annoying about them is because the majority of the time, this for stuff and garbage you don't need. Like, I don't need it. I didn't even know this thing existed until 5 seconds ago. And guaranteed, a minute from now, I'm going to be on Amazon seeing how much it is. 1 minute ago, I didn't need it. Now I'm over here trying to spend money on things I don't need. It's not like all of a sudden I needed it. This is what the world does. It's constantly in your face saying, what about this? What about this? Can I give you this? How about this? Yeah?
So I can attest to that for sure as a parent too, because all of the things that we feel that we need to have for our children,
yep,
for our household, all of that, it's so expensive to live when you live with that as your focus.
Yep.
Because there's always going to be something that you're not,
yes,
providing, and then you feel like,
mm-hmm,
you're falling short. And
yeah. Yeah, I like that. You're always going to feel like you're falling short in the world. Because you are. You are. Because the world, listen to this. The goal of the world is not to satisfy. It's not. The goal of the world is simply that you will be focused on it and in it and not in the kingdom. Does that make sense? The goal of the world is not to satisfy. And this is why the good news of the kingdom is just that, good news, because the kingdom comes to satisfy, to give us life, to bring us everything we need, because there's a God, there's a Father that knows exactly what you need and when you need it, and he's capable of providing for it. The world is trying to convince you that you need what it has. The reality is that you need nothing from the world. because everything you need is found in the kingdom and provided by the Father. Amen?
Amen.
This is a trust thing. This is a faith thing. This is a, I trust my Father to do this. You know, Jesus talking about, you know, kids and the kingdom and how they go together, you know. I observed my daughter this week multiple times. She was in a situation that she could have probably got out of herself, stuck or whatever. But her first instinct was, Dad, come help me. Dad, come help me. She knows I can do it. And in her mind, it's like, why am I going to do it if I know Dad's going to come do it and I get to spend time with all this stuff, right? But her first reaction to everything is Dad. Or Mom. Yeah. When did you get in here? No. Her first reaction is, where are my parents? I'm just using Father because it says Father. You know, it's in the verse. I can't help it. Anyways, she knows who provides for her. She knows it. She knows, in her mind, we can do anything and everything, right? Anything, everything. Because everything she's ever wanted or needed has come from us. And at some point in our lives, we start getting things all mixed around. God wants you to understand that everything you need comes from God, comes from your Father. At some point, we start thinking that we can add to it and give him a little help, but we can't. That's why Jesus is so about seeking first the kingdom. Because why would you waste your time with what you don't need? What isn't helpful? Especially when all you need is gladly given by our Heavenly Father. Gladly. With a joyful heart. This world has nothing to offer us but discontentment. A never-ending search for something that satisfies our thirst. But this is the gist of it. I'm going to skip some stuff. This is the gist of it. When we live with a focus on the kingdom, we find freedom. And I love to frame Jesus' words as this a lot of times, as an invitation. When he's saying, seek first the kingdom, he is inviting you into the economy of the kingdom. He's inviting you to be provided for from the storerooms of the king. He's inviting you to toss all of that burden onto him. Amen? I enjoy our fellowship, our community so much. One of the reasons is because when I start to get stressed out, there's a body around me that reminds me, hey, there's something on your shoulders that doesn't belong there. It belongs on his shoulders, right? It belongs on his shoulders. Jesus, when instructing us to seek first the kingdom, is inviting us into freedom and the freedoms of the kingdom, inviting us to live in the comforts of God as provider, no longer being forced to rely on our own strength to scrap together what we can, inviting us to cast off the worries of this world, because the kingdom remains and our king stays the same and it's unaffected, so he continues to be the same good father, grand provider, great healer, regardless of the chaos of this world. What do you need? He's it. You need a provider? It's him. You need a healer? It's him. You need someone that satisfies? It's him. You need true love? It's him. You need reassurance about who you are and what you're created to be? It's going to be found in him. It's all in him. That's why Jesus is saying, seek first the kingdom, and everything you need will be provided. I'm going to ask the worship team to jump up. The world promises freedom. It does. It tries to. That's why understanding that the world actually isn't about that is good, because it promises freedom, but it has no intention on giving you freedom. It says, won't you be free once you have X? Won't you be free once you have enough of this? Won't you be free once you've achieved that? Won't you be satisfied once you've obtained those things? Won't you enjoy life when these people feel great about you? Won't you feel great when you've proven yourself? When you put the kingdom of God in its proper place as your life's focus, you find true freedom, a satisfaction beyond anything the world can offer. You find that all your needs are met. But God is asking you to do this. Be satisfied with me as your provider. Be content with me as your provider. I'll take care of it. I've got it handled. I'm going to end with the same two verses that we began with. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and he will give you everything you need. So don't be afraid, little flock, for it gives your Father great happiness to give you the kingdom. Man, the Father is eager to give you his kingdom. He is eager for you to put the kingdom in its proper place in your life. He's waiting for you to do it. It's like he's do it, and you're gonna watch me move. Yeah, it's gonna make your heart race. You don't need to be anxious. I'm here. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. Our God is a consuming fire. When you stand before God, what do you expect that to look like? He's overall. He's grand. He's powerful. He's capable. He's able. And he's willing. He wants to give to you. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We ask that you help us this week and as we go on to be laser focused on your kingdom, to put it in its proper place. Help us to be content with you as our provider. Lord, this morning let us offer acceptable worship with reverence and awe. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.